as we discuss, as we preach on a very, very important, I think, need in the world today. To realize that indeed, yes, we all bleed. We bleed the same. It's the same blood. You look at our nation, divided nation. Look at the world divided. One person against the other. That's not God's way. And I believe that the way for unity is through humility. Want to say that with me? The way to unity, not only in this country, but the entire world, is through humility. Anybody want to be humble? And sometimes we look at humility in a negative point of view. Well, that means I'm in the back of the line and them people are getting ahead of me and I got to deal with them people. And you know how those people are. And we're all divided. But God has created one man and one woman. And they are to be united forever and ever. And I want to read the scripture. We're going to spend a lot of time today on hopefully seeing the importance of humility. And nobody wants to be humble. Nobody wants to be last. We all want to be first. We all want to be winners. But that's not the way of Christianity. I believe Christianity is the answer, truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to bring an end to all the strife and the hatred. Jesus was a man who taught love, that we're to love one another. And I want to read again in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. That's our text. If my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves. We don't want to humble ourselves, do we? But it is the key. Humility is the key to advancing. We think by putting somebody else down and conquering this nation and that nation, we'll get ahead. No, that's not God's way. God's way is for his people. His people will humble themselves. Imagine all the nations, all the countries, if every nation, every country practice humility. If we humble ourselves and pray to God. Pray to God. We want to be like God and humble ourselves like God, but we need the power and the strength and the love of God to embrace people who are different, cultures who are different. We need the love of God. You see, God's love has no color. It has no one type of person. The love of God brings us all together because it is the love of God that will last. We need to humble ourselves, it says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek him, seek his will, seek to satisfy him, seek his face, seek what he wants and what he wants us to be, and turn from their wicked ways. This world, the United States of America, I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're Republican. We all bleed the same. And this world, this country is divided because we don't seek the Lord. Then I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. We all need to repent. Nobody has it together. Totally. Nobody's perfect. And he will forgive us. Forgive our sin of hating other people just because they are of another color. There are many sins that go back for centuries, hundreds, thousands of years of hatred and division. And God says, humble yourself because I want to heal your land. And the sins of the fathers for centuries, generationally, this country has not been what God wants it to be. And no nation has totally. But I believe that God wants us to come together. And he wants us to get ahead, not by putting the other person down, whether that's verbally, mentally, you know how those people are, or we're greater than they are. We are the masters and they are the slaves. That's not God's way. He will heal this land. And the fracture in this land goes back for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And if we humble ourselves, then he will heal our land. Humble themselves, and I forgive their sins and heal their land. They sing it beautiful way. Mandisa sings that, and this one and that one. Mandisa is no longer with us. She died, I think, a year or two ago, but she had the right idea, and all the others there are singing the hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. I want to look at some other things for you this morning. I want you to really understand this, not only understand it, but this whole thing of humility will be a way of life. And you will have to go by. First of all, when it comes to Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. I want you to imagine this. Jesus Christ is very God. And he humbled himself. Imagine that. He humbled himself. Now, if very God humbled himself, then you, as the president of a company or the builder of this or that, you're not God. All of our supplies, all of our money, everything comes from God. So first, he became a man. Then as a man came the creaturely virtue. He humbled himself. Here's a man, a human being, who humbles himself, the one who made everything. If he humbled himself, and Paul confirms it, Paul says, what Paul confirms, what we learned about humility in the negative example of Pharaoh and the Exodus. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2:8. Now, how did Jesus humble himself? By becoming obedient. How many of y'all like being obedient? How many of you teenagers like being obedient to mom and dad? Now, don't worry about that. Just obey them. They love you. They have the best interest for you. By becoming obedient, to humble oneself is to acknowledge God as Lord and to obey as a servant. That's what it means. In order to do so, the Son, that is God Almighty, who we call the Son as well, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, came in the form of a servant. You're God. You're in control of everything. And you come. I can't wrap my mind around that. I've got it all. And I come as a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:7 tells us that. We as creatures must obey our great God. And he is our brother. He is our savior. And when we humble ourselves, as he set the example, it is a mark of the fullness of humanity and the identification with us. Here we're just human beings in his image, and he came and identified with us, became one of us. Not just with us, he's one of us. That's humility. And that's the humility that he is calling us to humble ourselves. And so therefore, I want to encourage us all to focus on the greatness of God in humility. Focus on the greatness of God, how great thou art. We sing that song. Focus on the greatness of God. Focus on him rather than ourselves. Focusing on ourselves and even our problems and issues hinder us from being humble. It points to somebody else. It's your wife's fault. It's the kid's fault. That's not humble. That's not humility. Ponder, put your mind on God and his greatness. Focus there. Focus on him rather than on your problems. I do that a lot sometimes. I got this to do, Lord, got to do that. Focus on the one who can solve our problems, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how big he is, and how he is in control of everything. We say that a lot, but it's true. He is sovereign over all. Isaiah 40, verse 12, read that when you get home. I'm running a little bit over, but I want to try and explain these things. And Father, I just ask you to open our hearts and minds to see your greatness. And Lord, help us to acknowledge and confess that our hearts are bent toward self. And oh Lord, forgive us of our selfishness and turn our hearts to you. And Lord, help us to express our needs to you and to realize we don't have it all together, but you do. And help us to learn to accept the criticism of our brothers and sisters, because you're teaching us and you're showing us. And forgive us for being so quick to be offended. Jesus wasn't that way. He heard and he was teachable. He heard the cries of the people. He heard the problems of the people. To be teachable, we need to ask others as friends, hey, do you see something about me that I need to change? We need to talk to our parents, and parents talk to our children. See, that's humility, to be able to take criticism. You want to know how to be humble? Go and ask a friend, what do you see in me that needs to change? Or ask our mates or ask our children. If you are wrong, don't retaliate in situations. Jesus was wronged. Oh, Jesus, above everyone who ever existed, is the one to have a gripe about something or a problem with the way they treated him on the cross, nailing his hands to wood, to pierce in his side with a spear. He had something to complain about. But he humbled himself and he did not complain. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's humility. He went to bat, as they say, or to spear his murderers. You see, that takes Jesus living in us. I could go on and on and on. But you see, I hope we're getting the point. I hope that, Father, that you're speaking to our hearts and that we would humble ourselves just as Jesus humbled himself, even to the death of a cross. And let us apply this to our neighbors, to our friends, to people who don't look like us, people who don't think like us. Help us to love them. Help us to humble ourselves. And notice I said humble ourselves, not having to be made to do it, not having to be forced to do it. But this is voluntary, to put others above ourselves, to treat others better than ourselves. And I'd go a long way in uniting a country, wouldn't it? If I treated someone who came here from Kenya, and I came and treated that Kenyan or that German better than myself, wouldn't that go a long way in loving one another and unifying this whole country, this whole world, if we would humble ourselves? Humility is the key to unity. Think about that. Humility is the key to unity. Whether you're talking about people from other nations, talking about your husband, your wife, your children, your school. But humility is the key to unity. And I believe that God wants us to be a people of unity and a people who put others ahead of ourselves. I want us to sing. We've read the scripture from Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, verse 4 through verse 14. We sang it and it's beautiful. But someone once said, it was Martin Luther once said, that to sing is to pray twice. So we're going to pray a number of times a day. We ought to sing, pray. If my people. Wow, that song just sends chills up and down my, as they say, spine. If my people would humble themselves and pray. God says, I will heal the land. It's interesting that God would love the world so much to give his only begotten son and to hinge it all on his people praying. His people humbling themselves and loving one another. And giving their lives for one another. It's not what happens at the UN. It's not what happens in Washington, D.C. It's primarily what happens on our knees. If our people, our brothers and sisters, would humble, all of us just humble ourselves and pray. God says, it ain't about you. It's about me. I will heal your land if you humble yourself, if you consider others better than yourself. I'll humble yourself and give you peace, give you rest. Give you what you're looking for and you don't know it. We need the Lord. And if we ever needed the Lord before, we need him now. And as we now are going to eat of him and drink of him and ask him to forgive us, as a nation, as a people, as a neighbor, as a friend. It's one-on-one. Matthew 26, Jesus answered because he wanted to know who it was that was going to betray him. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and he broke it. And gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And when he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he offered to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Father, we ask you to bless this bread. And we look forward to the day that we will break bread with you, with all our brothers and sisters from around the world. We pray that you would bless this wine, and that as we drink it, we will be remembered and reminded of what you did for us, that you humbled yourself even to be sacrificed on a cross for criminals. That you became, in the eyes of society and public, a criminal. And you took all of our crimes, all of our sins. You became a sinner, one who bore our sins. On the cross, you took our sins. As we drink this wine, let us experience your grace, your mercy, And help us to be gracious and merciful to those who have sinned against us. And we ask all of this in your Son's name, Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. So now let's eat and let's drink of the bread and wine. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. As we eat and drink, let us sing. Love each other. Love each other.
All the room was hushed and still. And when the bowl was filled, he stooped to wash their feet. And when it was complete, he said, "This is what I'm asking you to do. This is why I'm kneeling here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see. Who is you for?"
I've loved you.